Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Talking Steelers Football. I'm Bob Labriola, joined by Mike Pursuta of the DVE Morning Show. Where were you in 2006? You were, I mean, we weren't doing this. This didn't exist then, I don't think, but
I was probably in the room that I just left to come down here, typing up some stuff to make the last game of the year seem meaningful.
Which and it was not then.
Probably failing.
Which it was not then, and it is not now. This being the first time, since 2006 that the Steelers are involved in what I will call a meaningless regular season game, in the sense that there will be no playoffs. They have played regular season finales in which their playoff seeding had been determined. Those I do not consider are meaningless, simply because there were more games to be played. But the Cleveland Browns will be coming to town Sunday at Heinz Field. The Steelers will end their season against a team that, you know, the first game was one of those ones that I think contributed mightily to the Steelers being where they are right now.
Well, it was a loss. It certainly didn't help. So it
it was a giveaway loss.
It conspired to get them knocked out before week 17. But this is a team I've kind of liked all year. And from what we're hearing out of Cleveland.
You're talking about the Browns.
Yeah.
Yes.
It might be what's left of the Browns as well on Sunday. The Steelers making three IR moves today, Bob. And the Browns on short quarterback, running back. They're starting to take on water as far as the injuries are concerned as well. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the Browns in the offseason, because there has been a change in ownership. Oftentimes that means there is a change in the head coach and his staff. But I think Pat Shurmur, for a second-year guy, is doing okay out there. And this was the youngest team in the league all season. They appear to have a lot of the pieces in place, and they look like a team that competed pretty well, last week being one of the exceptional games, going out to Denver and suffering injury at the quarterback position and not staying in the game. But the Browns, for the most part, have played good, tough AFC North ball, and they look like they're on to something to me. So not that any light's going to get shed on that Sunday at Heinz Field, but this, I think moving ahead to year 2013 and beyond, we're not going to be assessing the AFC North as, well, whoever loses to Cleveland isn't going to win it.
Yeah. You know, the Browns, starting with Halloween, you know, using that as a marker in the NFL schedule, the Browns beat San Diego in the game played right before Halloween. They played well against the Ravens and lost one of those Browns games. Lost then to the Cowboys in overtime. Beat the Steelers, beat the Raiders, beat the Chiefs 30-7. Lost to the Redskins. They were somewhat competitive. And then, as you mentioned, went out to Denver and the great Peyton Manning kind of had his way. But, you know, again, you bring up, you know, the Browns situation, new ownership, new team president, Joe Banner, probably then will have a new general manager or whatever title they're going to give to that person who kind of heads up the player personnel thing. You know, I agree with you. I think that Pat Shurmur has done a legitimate job there. They have been competitive. They have not quit. They have not been a slappy bunch like some other teams with similar records. The Browns coming into the game at 5-10. I just don't think he's going to be back, and it has nothing to do with the kind of job he's doing. I believe that the new owner is going to want his own guy. And, you know, that's what you get for your $1 billion,
yeah,
or whatever. You get to pick a coach. But, you know, Pat Shurmur, again, I don't think –
won't be the last you hear of him.
Yeah, probably not. What is, you know him, his background a little bit. What is his side of the football?
Well, his side was offense, and he was a coordinator before he came a head coach. But I believe his uncle is Fritz Shurmur,
The
legendary defense coordinator.
Yeah.
So he grew up in a football family, and there are other elements of that which escape me right now. But he was an offensive lineman in college. He played center at Michigan State, and he was one of those heady coach on the field, kind of,
mm-hmm,
knows what everybody else on the field is doing, and really kind of born into this. I don't think he had a pro career. If he did, it didn't last very long. But he was a very good college player and a football life, so to speak.
Yeah.
To borrow the cliche from the NFL Network. I think he's a good coach, and if Cleveland doesn't want him, I think someone will get themselves a nice offensive coordinator next year, and then we'll probably see him get another team down the road.
Okay, turning our attention to the Steelers. You know, Mike Tomlin at his news conference on Christmas Eve, you know, talked about, you know, when he was asked about how do you prepare for Sunday's game with nothing really to play for, nothing on the line. You know, he mentioned the pride factor. You know, he talked about performing for the fans. What do you expect to see from the Steelers Sunday in terms of what we're talking about here?
You're asking me this because I've been so on all season.
Well, right.
In terms of what I expected and what actually happened. I'll just tell you, I was in the locker room today at lunch, and Steve McClendon talked enthusiastically about finishing number one overall in defense, which they are right now, and they want to finish that, take that to the end. So that's a little bit of a carrot. Ben Roethlisberger, really, I think the last couple days have been useful to him in gaining a little perspective. Yeah, he's not happy with the way that he's been playing, but he was framing most of his comments in terms of this was a bad year. There were eight pretty good ones prior to this. I just want to go out and finish strong, you know, maybe get the taste out of your mouth for the last couple of weeks. So I think he'll be motivated to play well. He talked about wanting to play and wanting to play as long as he can. You know, it's Casey Hampton put it, they're professionals. And I think when push comes to shove, they will be professional. Whether you can gauge whether they're going to win or lose or not, I haven't been able to do that all year. So what's
the point? That wasn't my question. Yeah. You answered the question as I meant it. And you know, it's going to be interesting. As I said, this is the first time since 2006, and you know, I think that a lot of the pride thing you mentioned talking to some of these guys. I don't know though that. That's going to be everyone. And I don't know who it's not going to be, but I think that when this season is examined or, you know, in retrospect, when a lot of things kind of, you know, how things kind of come out after the fact, you know, to me, there was a very obvious leadership void in this team. And it's not a point the finger at someone and say he needs to be a leader, because leaders that you cannot assign someone that role, that job. They just have to kind of come to it from multiple angles. I mean, they have to be a good player. They have to be a respected person, and someone who respected in terms of among their peers, and someone that you know, other guys will listen to. And I think that what ended up happening to the Steelers losing Aaron Smith, James Ferrier, and Hines Ward, among some others, all at once, I don't know that that had a chance to develop replacements for those guys. I think that there were a lot of individuals who have the credentials to do it, have the bona fides to do it. But again, I don't know that it's something that can change, you know, presto changeo, for example. And I'm not using him I'm not pointing the finger at him, but Brett Kiesel. And I only use him because he plays the same position as Aaron Smith. I don't know that you can go from everyone on that unit, including Brett Kiesel, looking up to Aaron Smith as not only an example as a player, but also as a human being, then within a matter of months, that kind of respect can be transferred to another individual. You know, maybe that happens over the course of time, but you know, the same thing at the linebackers. You know, Larry Foote to me is a very savvy understands the business and the game and knows what it he's a professional and understands and know all those things. But again, Farrier leaves, I don't think that everyone then turns to an individual and says, okay, now he's going to be, to me this year, what Farrier was to me last year. I don't think it happens that fast. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to me to see how a lot of, you know, guys who might either be disgruntled with their roles or at the end of their contracts or looking for a new, better deal, you know, kind of in that window of when the Steelers start talking to them, and how that's all going to come together on Sunday, too. Again, I'm not predicting that it's going to be anarchy or any of that stuff. It's just going to be something that I'm going to be watching.
It's a very interesting point. We've kind of touched on that a couple times this year in these sessions. I think it's a ship issue. The ship sank, but was it leadership or followership? Did guys want to be led?
Yeah.
Did they pay attention? And is that on the leader or is that on the guy who is,
good point,
who is watching? Because I think most of these guys, now we're not in the locker room, we're not in the meeting rooms, we don't go to Farrier's house when he has the linebackers over for chicken wings to watch film. But, you know, it always seemed to me that it's more by example around here. And even Ben Roethlisberger was talking about that a couple weeks ago. But, hey, nothing needs to be said. We want to keep it that way. We're going to, by the way we prepare and the way we practice and the way we go about our business, we want guys to follow. And, you know, maybe some guys just weren't paying attention.
Yeah.
Is that on the leader or is that on the guy who refuses to be led? I want to give you this quote because it might be my favorite quote in my journalism career. Phil Esposito was coaching the Rangers one year against the Penguins. He fired Michel Bergeron down the stretch and wound up behind the bench as the general manager in the postseason. And the Rangers were in dire straits, and the Penguins were, I think they were sweeping them. And after one of the games, Espo was just beside himself, and he's sitting there talking to the media, and he said, "You can lead a horse to water, but he has to drink it if he wants to drink it." And that was Phil's take on the old cliche.
Yeah.
You can lead a horse to water, but you can't
make him drink. Yeah,
I don't know how thirsty this team was.
Right.
And some guys probably more so than others. And if that was the case, then if you're looking for a silver lining to being out of it with one regular season game to go, maybe it's a reality check and a little reminder that, hey, nothing is given. Everything's got to be earned. If you don't do what it takes to go grab it, somebody else is going to do that and grab it for themselves. You don't just get to be the Steelers and fast forward to January and then start getting serious. I'm just kind of spitballing here.
Right. And that's all really that you can do in this situation. You know, as Mike Tomlin pointed out, the Steelers played 8 games this year decided by 3 points or fewer. They were 3-5 in those games.
Yeah.
3-5.
And a lot of those games were last possession.
Right. One way or the other.
Where they usually do a lot better when Ben has the ball at the end with a chance to win.
Or, in the past, if the other team had the ball, you just shut them down. You know, there was that, too.
Those were the days. Although the defense, I thought, looked pretty representative by the end of the year.
Yes. And I also think the defense in the you can certainly call it the most critical regular season game of the year, since it was one that you had to win in order to keep your playoff hopes alive. But I thought the defense played its best game against the Bengals, not only in terms of yardage, didn't allow a touchdown, shut down the run, 6 sacks and season-high 3 takeaways.
Yeah, there's your splash plays.
Yep, there they are.
Still didn't win.
Nope.
You know, it might be let's just throw something else at the wall.
Okay.
See if it sticks. And injuries are not supposed to be an excuse. And, you know, God bless the next man up and all that. But injuries become a factor in this league. It is a game of
absolutely
attrition as much as anything else. And let's just take a look at here's the AFC playoff teams, the number of different offensive line combinations they started to this point. Houston, 3. Denver, 3. New England, 5. Baltimore, 4. Indianapolis, 6. Cincinnati, 4. Now let's look at the National Conference. Atlanta, 2. Green Bay, 4. San Francisco, 1. 49ers have had the same 5 guys start every game at the same position. 10-4-1.
I thought that was against the rules.
Washington 2. Seattle 6. It's been a little different there. And Minnesota 1. Same five guys blocking for Adrian Peterson. Same spots. Steelers have started 7.
Yeah. And that was a number in that neighborhood last year too.
Yeah. That's sometimes you get a horse that can't be rode, you know, that they've put a lot into trying to make the offensive line better. Invested a lot in terms of draft picks in the last couple of years, and it still hasn't. When I think back to that Bengals game, they got annihilated up front. They got schooled, handled. However, the Bengals front 7 was better than the Steelers front 5. Decidedly so.
Yes.
Decidedly so. And maybe that's just what they had to offer at that point, you know. It would have been nice if David DeCastro was making his 15th start instead of his 2nd, but that's the way it was. Would have been nice if Mike Adams was making his 15th start
instead of being inactive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or Marcus Gilbert was not on IR.
You know, you can only do so much. Depth is a wonderful thing, but, you know, when you're down to your third right tackle, you're down to your third right tackle.
Right.
Who's got a real good third right tackle?
I don't know. The Steelers' third right tackle isn't bad. But, again, you know, the next man up and all that stuff, there is a reason he's the third right tackle,
yeah.
though. I mean, if he was the best, he'd be the first right tackle.
Well, in theory, yeah.
Yes. No, after, you know.
Maybe next year he will be. I don't know. But this year he was the third.
Yeah.
And that's what they were down to in the game that decided everything. And that – if there was anything else that came out of the locker room today, Casey Hampton said it. I don't know if it's been, you know, somewhere that people didn't want to go. But he said, hey, you got to win the games you're supposed to win early. And there's been a lot of – from the Steelers players this year, a lot of the, hey, any given Sunday, and we respect the Tennessees and the Oaklands and all that. But those are the games you got to win because you're healthier early.
Dad,
and
yeah.
then you don't put so much pressure on yourself late. Then you're playing for seeding as opposed to – in or out.
Just remember this conversation next year when if they're 0-1 again and you're mocking me when I say they don't want to go 0-2. And there was a little of that that happened, as I recall, back on September 14th.
16th.
Well, the 16th was the game.
Yes.
But the mocking took place.
That was about the
13th,
11th.
Yeah,
12th.
13th, yeah. Right.
I think it was the 12th because the Springsteen concert was the 14th in D.C.
All right, well – that'll do it for this edition of Talking Steelers
Football.
You
showing up Sunday?
Yeah, I'm showing up Sunday.
You going to take notes like you always do?
Yes.
You're going to have a clear eye?
I'm going to – full heart, can't lose. You know, we
got – 2 out of 3.
we got a pregame show to do. And
that's going to be Super Bowl quality.
Well, hey, it won't be for lack of effort.
I'm bringing it.
Well, there you go. And then next Monday, we will start talking about – what we expect from the Steelers this offseason in terms of changes that we think they will make, that we believe they should make. And, you know, we'll start talking about the draft, but only
– I think they should try not to play the number 3 right tackle in the most important game of the year. That's a change I'd make.
Or that they should not have to move their all-pro center to left guard in a week because they have no guards. For Mike Pursuta, I'm Bob Labriola. Thanks for listening. Talk to you soon.